People First Radio is a program about people, the society in which we live, and issues related to health and wellness.
Welcome to People First Radio. I'm Joe Pugh. A UBC group has identified public land in communities across BC, it says, could be a good fit for affordable housing. They've put all of this info into an interactive map that anyone can visit online. The BC Public Lands Map launched June 30th. On it, there are thousands of individual parcels identified and scored based on how suitable they would be for housing. There are 54 parcels that score very high around Nanaimo, and around 170 in the capital region, with several hundred in the lower mainland. For each parcel, you can see the ownership, the current use, the neighborhood density, scores for how close the parcel is to different amenities, and more. I spoke with a member of the team behind the project about how he hopes the map can lead to more affordable housing in BC.
My name is Craig Jones. I am the Associate Director of the Housing Assessment Resource Tools Project at UBC.
And your team have designed an interactive map of public lands in BC scored for their housing potential. What did you learn doing that?
We learned a lot going through that process. So fundamentally, what the BC Public Lands Map does is it brings together public lands, which are identified and visible through the BC parcel map fabric. And you can find these parcels, you can see what high levels of government ownership there is. But with that parcel map BC fabric, it was hard to get any information on the characteristics of those parcels. And so what we did is we then joined that with data from BC assessment on the property characteristics to then identify, okay, well, are these parcels sitting vacant or are they underused, in that the value of the structure on the parcel is 20% or less than 20% of the value of the land. So there's some kind of value gap there. We learned a bunch about the BC assessment data, about property valuation, about just how many vacant and underused parcels there are under public ownership throughout BC. And then from there, that's really the backbone of the whole project, bringing these two large data sets together to speak to each other, because as far as I know, they haven't really been brought together before. And then we just layered on a whole bunch of other variables, like proximity to roads and electrical grid and water mains, the slope of the parcel, whether or not they're close to amenities like grocery stores or places of work, public transportation, all those kind of things, brought them all together and then put it out for the public.
And as you say, this is a public tool. Anyone can go online, and whether you live in Nanaimo or Courtney or Victoria or Vancouver or wherever, you can drag it around, see which parcels score high on the map in your community. And that's all well and good, and that's really fun. But who do you intend to use this tool and maybe say, hey, wait, we have the power to do something with it?
Yeah, I mean, basically everyone who is motivated, has the ability, has an interest in seeing the supply of non-market affordable housing in British Columbia increase. There's been a lot of talk about the housing crisis and the need for overall supply in order to get affordability back on track in the province. There's also been a lot of discussion around in some places where you might be surprised, such as Scotiabank put out a report a few years ago looking at this problem and agreed with many other organizations that have been calling for an increase in the share of non-market housing in Canada. It wasn't that long ago that the proportion of housing starts in Canada that were social housing was pretty large, right? You go back to the 1960s, 70s, 80s, there's a pretty good percentage of starts and dwellings that are for social housing. And then we hit the 1990s, things pretty much go off a cliff, and then we don't we see some, but as a proportion of new starts, we just don't see much. And so now where we are in Canada is that it's hard to say exact numbers, but about 5% of Canada's housing stock is, social affordable. That is half the average for OECD countries, Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development. That's about half of those other countries that Canada is a member of the OECD. And so in order to get to that average, that would basically require a doubling of the non-market social affordable housing stock in Canada, which lots of different organizations have called for. And that just gets us back up to that average. And in order to achieve that, we need something in the order of, 25 in British Columbia to, well, actually in Canada, we would need about 24% of all new housing starts to be social affordable housing, which is, we are way off from that. And in British Columbia, it's estimated that we would need about 25,000 new social affordable housing dwellings in BC every single year. Right now, we are quite a bit less than that. And so this is the that's that that's the challenge. So anybody in BC, I don't care if you are a community member, in government, in a nonprofit builder, for-profit builder, an association member, First Nation, everybody, it's out there to use to encourage the expansion of that needed supply.
And you've talked a little bit so far about how you gave each of these parcels a score. For example, I'm speaking to you from Nanaimo, where you have identified 54 parcels with a very high score. What factors does it take to get a very high score? What does that mean?
Something like 25 different variables. This it's 100 points, and the score was developed in partnership with our advisory committee, which had representatives from government, that's at the provincial level, regional level. We had some local level inputs. We also involved lots of different organizations and heard from them. What's important? What matters the most to be part of this scoring regime? And then we also ran those numbers by development consultants too, to say, look, do these numbers make sense? Is this a scoring system that you would agree with? And they checked that out and generally agreed with what we found. And so what are those sort of key characteristics? Well, the first one is that, well, is it vacant? And if so, that's a big one, right? That 25 points is basically if the land is currently sitting vacant. If it's underutilized, I believe that's about 15 points. So there's like a 10-point premium on it sitting vacant. So that's the biggest chunk, single chunk. Then we've got, okay, how well serviced is it? How close to roads, electrical grid, water mains? Like, how difficult would it be to build there? And that's where we build in this slope. We actually calculated an average slope for almost the entire province that's, within a municipal boundary. Then we add in access to the things like I mentioned before, being close to jobs, childcare, grocery stores, community centers, the things that people in maybe non-market affordable housing would really benefit from, especially if they don't have access to a car. And we also labeled it, layered in some additional features such as natural hazards and riparian zones, that kind of stuff. What's the sort of natural environment around? So, what is the nearby wildfire risk? What's the relative flood risk? And is it close to any natural bodies of water, such as streams, that building nearby would be not a great idea?
Okay, so let's say I'm looking at the map. I see, ooh, here are some parcels that are very highly scoring. That would be a great place to put some kind of public non-market housing. What happens next? What are the barriers to that actually coming to be?
I mean, the barriers are a multitude. I actually think that, building non-market housing is one of the hardest things that anyone can set out to do. I have so much respect for the folks that are out there who, don't make a lot of money doing this, but are really mission-driven to develop and run affordable housing for the people who need it. So, this is where we this is when we provided this tool, the vision for providing this tool is to say, look, we're not the development experts here. I can't tell you for sure that any of those 50 parcels that are identified as high scoring are going to work. But what I can do is I can save you a huge amount of time identifying where those parcels are. And then from that point, if you have that development expertise, if you've done a project before, if you're a development consultant, if you're a municipality, if you're in senior government and you know you want to build some kind of project, this cuts out, I think, a lot of time in identifying, okay, where's that what's called like lowest hanging fruit? Where are the easiest sites that are there? The barriers that could exist are just voluminous, right? We've done our best to include flags for, has there ever been a environmental remediation tag? We've included that for the parcels where that's available. We've included what the current use is when possible, and also what the zoning is at that time to give people a sense of like, well, this one, its current use is maybe it's vacant, but it's under a utilities use, so perhaps it's a works yard or public, something for trucks to be parked on or something along those lines, and also it's currently zoned as industrial, so yeah, maybe that's not going to be great, but there could be other parcels in which, well, I don't want to look at industrial zone. I want to look at residential. I want to look at residential use. And we see a lot of those. Other barriers that could exist are, what is the site soil, right? We couldn't get at that. Is the surface permeable? Is it contaminated? Will it hold up to, will it allow for easy construction of a foundation? Because underneath the ground, there are huge, that's where when you start digging, you start uncovering new challenges. Other barriers could be that, is it, we really think around that the ideal structure for non-market multifamily housing is about six stories, right? And so we've done our best to build in a something of a development index. And so for what we did is for every single city block in British Columbia, so every single city block in Nanaimo, we calculate using 2021 census data the units per acre, the sort of the dwelling density of every single city block, and we apply it to each city block. Then what we do from there is for each city block, we take a look at the surrounding area and calculate the median density, and then within that area as well, which is a kilometer, we calculate the highest density. And so we offer three different scenarios in which we're saying, look, if you want to be absolutely consistent with this particular city block, this is how many units you can get. If you want to be more consistent with the area, this is how many units you may be able to get on this site. And if you really want to push the envelope, here's what the highest density in your area relevant, that's relevant for your parcel can be built on. So we are, I there's always a reason why something a project can't go ahead, and we're really trying to go in the other direction of saying, okay, well, what are the opportunities? How can we be as expansive with opportunities as we can with this project?
You're listening to People First Radio. I'm speaking with Craig Jones, Associate Director of the Housing Assessment Resource Tools Project at UBC. The team has put together an interactive map of publicly owned land across the province. The map scores parcels of land based on how suitable they would be for affordable housing. You can find the map online at ubc.ca/bcplm. Are decision makers at various levels, whether that's councillors or people who work at housing authorities or BC Housing or provincial politicians, are they aware of this tool? And if so, how are they using it?
So the tool has only been available for about 3 weeks. We promoted this tool as much as we could. So our hope is that they are aware of this tool, and we have had interactions and meetings with folks who are out there in some of those levels of responsibility who are starting to wrap their head around, okay, what does this mean? What can we do with this? We've had a few requests for like, well, could you, we want to look at some particular parcels. We don't want to look at everything. We'd like to be able to really focus in on just a handful. Could you provide us with that kind of an output? So we can really focus in and then go from there. And then they can do their due diligence. They can do their research with their expertise to find out, okay, what are the best sites? So right now we're hearing from folks who are out there, hearing from the sector. We'll be producing some case studies of how people have been using it since launch, and then putting that out for people to see. But yeah, my hope is that this continues to get wide use and that more people hear about it and engage with it.
So if the pitch is that you have identified public land that is available that could be good for some kind of public housing, what would you say is the best way to maybe structure that housing to thread the needle of it can actually get built, but also the housing that does get built is affordable and stays affordable for generations to come?
Yeah, so there's a lot of challenges that are out there right now. Costs are up, construction costs are way up. There's a lot going on right now that's making it challenging to build. But what our research has shown, and other research out there has shown, is that access to land is a prerequisite. For a lot of the societies that are looking to build and are going out there to get funding, or mortgages or loans to build, they have to have secure access to land in order to make that work. And we've done research across the country with nonprofit providers, and identification of land came through as like a really important something we could do that would really help with those efforts. And so identifying those opportunities. Then we've been arguing for quite a long time that providing, whoever the holder of that land is, whatever level of government that is, whether it be federal down to municipal or regional, providing access to that land at low or no cost can really help get these projects to pencil out, to be to make sense economically, so that the rents that are offered can be affordable and yet still cover the operating costs. So then where I come from is I'm a huge believer in the non-market, a nonprofit housing sector in British Columbia. I think we're really lucky to have organizations like BC Housing, the Aboriginal Housing Management Association, the BC Nonprofit Housing Association, and just a myriad of other housing providers and societies that are doing incredible work. And so what I think that the best way to guarantee that these units remain affordable is to put them in the hands of societies and operators who are cost driven, who are, the rents are driven by the need to cover the cost of operating the building. That's how we really do see affordability delivered in the long term. And I really think that the cooperative housing sector is an excellent example of that in BC. That when you have co-ops, which did, were big in the 1980s and 1990s, received subsidies and also some grants to operate over time, the gap on what co-ops typically charge for their housing charges versus the market rental is huge. Even if it wasn't that different to begin with when they were first built, now because those dwellings are, or actually their societies, are cost driven, they only need to charge their members, their residents, what is needed to maintain the building. And when you take out that like profit incentive, the savings are huge.
Is this public land map, is it being updated in real time and maintained over the long haul?
No, the short answer for that is no. This project was funded by the Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation, as what's called a demonstration initiative. So this is an idea that's sort of been bouncing around in my head for several years. It's like I've been aware that there are these, two sources of data in BC. They don't really speak together. I'm kind of like thinking about, okay, how could we bring this together to produce this resource? And so it was a one-time grant. We're in UBC. We are not really set up to charge any kind of subscription fees or, make money off of this. This is a straight up research project, so we don't have any revenue generation options for this. And so what our plan is to make the case for an annual update of this tool. And there's one main reason for that. And that's because the BC assessment role, the sort of like the BC assessment does of all the properties in the entire province, that is given a full update once per year. Usually it's done in July of each year, so there'll be one happening around now. And so that then every single parcel gets an update. And so that's a really good time. Once that data is fully collected and processed, it's a great time for us to then get another what we call a snapshot of the public land ownership that's out there. Because we can pull that pretty easy. That we could do on a regular basis, but it's the BC assessment property characteristics that only gets updated once per year. And so we plan on timing our updates with the release of new BC assessment data.
Do you have a hope or a way of measuring the impact of this public map?
I mean, what we've been doing at Heart is we provide data tools to as many people as possible at zero cost. And so I can only speak to the work that we have done in the past, and particularly we've done, a housing need assessment dashboard, which shows core housing need by municipality across the entire country. And that's had huge uptick, right? We have municipalities across the country that make use of our data, make use of our dashboard in their housing needs reports, or at the very least make reference to it and the methodology. And so the value of that is it's in the millions of dollars if you calculate just how, this information is just available to anyone at like zero barrier. So because we're so early in on this process, we need to hear from stakeholders and people who are using it around how they're benefiting from it. But I have fairly modest goals for this. Like this is, it's like a it's four people spending about a year working on this, not all of us working on it full time either, right? Doing we have other projects that we're working on at the same time. This is not our only thing that we do. To put this out for a fairly modest amount of money. It didn't cost like a huge amount of money to do, but it took a lot of time and effort to do it. And so I think that if this BC public lands map supports even just a few thousand units get built that wouldn't otherwise happen in BC, that's a huge win.
Craig Jones, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me about it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Craig Jones is Associate Director of the Housing Assessment Resource Tools Project at UBC. You can find the public land map we were talking about online at ubc.ca/BCPLM.
People First Radio, People First Media, and People First Stories are community media projects of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and are produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast, podcast, and social media partners.